All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Tiger View Podcast. Tonight, we have a special edition of the Tiger View Podcast. As you can see, if you're watching the video, we are joined tonight by a special guest, and that is now former Clemson Tiger baseball player, Andrew Trufo. So, Andrew, glad we could have you on, man, and just excited to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, really excited. Appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
And then also, Dawson, I kind of want to thank you, too, for setting this up. So, props to you, and I'm excited. Y'all ready to get into it?
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, so kind of just starting off, just kind of simple. Obviously, the college baseball season's over with now. So, Andrew, just kind of like, what have you been up to since the season's been over with, man? What you been doing?
Yeah, it's definitely been a weird adjustment. You know, not going to the field every day. Stuck around in Clemson for a little while. Just hung out with the boys for a while everyone was still in town. Other than that, you know, just been working out and working on my my real estate license that I'm about to get into. So just trying to grind that out. But yeah, like I said, it's definitely been weird not hitting every day and not throwing and doing, you know, all the stuff that we do in our downtime. So yeah.
So yeah, go ahead, Dawson.
Sorry, but yeah, Andrew, I saw that you posted the other day that you had officially finished up your lease and moved back to New York.
Yeah,
I think you mentioned before and said that you room with Dom Listy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, did he move out the same day as you, or did he already had left earlier?
No, not the same day. I was actually the last one in our house at the pier where we lived. But yeah, so I lived with Dom Listy, Josh Pano, and Tristan Bassetta. Obviously, all older guys, but Tristan, he lives in Greenville, so he was kind of back and forth for a little while. But, you know, Payne was out in California, so, you know, once he left, he wasn't really coming back. So it was definitely tough saying goodbye to those boys. You know, we had between Dom and Payne, we had, you know, 1 year together and then obviously Bassetta 2 years. But, yeah, it was just weird for all of us and especially the older guys that, you know that, you know, this was our last time playing baseball. You know, we had each other to kind of lean on and just kind of talk about what it would be like and then, you know, still – I just talked to Dom Listy before for like an hour. So, you know, we're still keeping in touch and just, you know, just helping each other out when we can.
Yeah. So, kind of just moving into kind of some baseball stuff, Clemson baseball stuff at that and kind of some moments you had with the Tigers. So I think the one that everybody kind of talks about is the walk-off versus South Carolina, your first year being a Tiger. So can you kind of just walk me through what you were feeling whenever that walk-off happened and just like what the moment was like for you whenever you did that?
Yeah, I would probably say, you know, looking back on my college career, like that was definitely the highest personal moment for me. You know, awesome atmosphere at Segra Park. You know, the night before we were supposed to play Friday night at their place got rained out. So, you know, we were itching even more to, you know, get on the field with them. I had heard about this rivalry, but, you know, coming from Georgetown and being from New York, you know, I'd never really experienced a rivalry like that. But, you know, from pitch one, you can just tell the energy was different than any other games we've played to that point. And, yeah, I mean, it was just a dogfight, which we knew it would be. Two teams going at it, you know, with a packed house. And yeah, I mean, it was just a back-and-forth game. I think at one point we kind of had the lead and then maybe gave it up in the ninth inning. And then so, you know, we didn't let that take the wind out of our sails. We knew someone would step up and it was going to come down to one swing or whoever that would be. And, you know, their closer, I remember a lefty, I think he's playing pro now, Garrett Gainey. You know, he was coming in and, you know, striking all of us out. He was throwing a crazy fastball that, you know, was pretty difficult to hit. But, yeah, I mean, I think it was the only time that he got behind in the count to one of our guys in the lineup and kind of just cheating on a fastball somewhere in the zone and just trying to get my ace swing off. So, you know, I feel like I blacked out rounding the bases, but I can still kind of like feel that a little bit. And, you know, just coming home and, you know, seeing all my guys at home plate and kind of dog pond or jumping around. It was definitely the peak of my college career from a personal standpoint.
I think vividly what I remember and probably what most remember is, you know, we were actually driving to Columbia the night before to go to the game one. It got rained out, so we weren't. And then we weren't able to go to game two I think I had an event with family, but I remember listening to the game on my phone on the Clemson broadcast, and it was just like strikeout, 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 sit down, and we had not made hard contact with any ball since like the seventh or eighth inning or something. And you know, then you hear the crack of the bat, and the announcers get excited. And I think that was, for a lot of Clemson fans, their almost introduction to you, really, on the big stage. It seemed like every inning you were making crazy play over there at short. And, you know, to transition to a little bit of defense, has shortstop always been that natural position for you, or did you have to kind of learn that later in life?
Yeah, it always has been. I've always been mainly a shortstop. I've played a little bit of second base at my first high school on Long Island. One of my best friends till this day, I was in his wedding last year. He lived right down the street from me. He was a shortstop, and you know, he played D1 as well. So during that period, I played second base. But for everything else, you know, growing up, I kind of just, I don't know, felt natural at shortstop. And, you know, I wasn't always the biggest guy, and never even was in college. But, you know, my dad, I think, taught me the fundamentals of kind of fielding ground ball, and especially not being as strong as other guys and as fast as the other guys. Like, you know, having to, you know, use your feet more and, you know, get rid of it a little quicker, especially when my arm strength wasn't really up to par. But yeah, I mean, I've always loved shortstop, and you know, it's never really been just given to me, just like any other position on the field. You know, every team I've been a part of, every school I've been a part of, you know, you had to come in and earn your spot. Even if you played there last year, like, there was always someone, you know, fighting for that spot, because, you know, there's a lot of good shortstops in college baseball today. So, you know, even if it's a freshman coming in who is strong and has good hands, like, you can never really settle, and, you know, you just always got to work hard.
Andrew, I kind of want to stick on to defense right now. Can you just talk about you and Jaron Purifoy's relationship, and just kind of like the duo, the middle infield that you guys had? I mean, man, each time it seems like I watch y'all play, y'all are always, you know, doing some crazy plays, double plays, diving plays, what have you. But can you kind of just talk on your relationship with Jaron and just what you've learned playing alongside with him?
Yeah, he's a great kid, and, you know, even a better teammate to play with, especially right next to you. You know, he came in as a freshman last year, and everyone knew he had so much talent in the world. But, you know, like any freshman, it takes a little bit of time and a few reps in game to, you know, get comfortable, be confident. And the jump he made from last year to this year, in terms of a maturity standpoint, a physical standpoint, mental standpoint, just every aspect that it takes to, you know, succeed at the level that we play at, which is really impressive. And, you know, we were super close last year. And then when I was making the decision to come back for the sixth year, you know, he was one of the guys that I went to. And I was like, dude, like, what do you think about this? Do you think I should do it? Like, you think it'd be sick? And automatically he was like, dude, you need to come back. Like, we'd run the infield. So, you know, that was kind of a part of it that I really couldn't turn down. And yeah, I think it also stems back to Coach Schnabel, who's the infield coach, third base coach, who, you know, works with us every day in training and then outside of training as well. And, you know, even though JP was he's five years younger than me, I think I have almost 5 years on him, or maybe even more. You know, it never really felt like that, especially when we're in game. And, you know, like I said, just the maturity standpoint. And, you know, we were always messing around. Like, you could see it, just like, I'm always shoving him, and he's always like, just doing weird stuff, even in like a stressful game. And so that kind of just helps us, you know, calm the nerves a little bit. And, you know, it just felt like I was playing with my best friend all year.
Andrew, I think I asked you like early on in the season in a press conference, like, what fueled you to come back to Clemson, really, after, I mean, really what could have been, you know, easily a injury that sent you into the real world last year. And you cited, you know, about, you know, teammates and, you know, wanting to play for Eric Backich and just wanting to be a kid again. Can you reiterate to our viewers just really what went into that decision, and then, you know, the moments after you made that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think the top umbrella factor would be Eric Bakich. He just has a way of talking to his players, both personally, one-on-one, and just in a team setting, that just makes you feel good about yourself and makes you feel like you can do whatever you want to accomplish, whether that's from baseball or a life perspective. So it took me a while to kind of get to that point. I've been through a couple surgeries before and the rehab process, and I knew that especially an ACL is like difficult to get back to how you were before. And, I expressed all that to him. There are many conversations kind of leading up to the decision. And, he just, like I said, he just instilled confidence in me and was like, dude, you need to come back, be a kid for one more year. You have your whole life to work. And especially as an older guy, you feel like sometimes you want to rush into that life and start making money and, all the factors that comes with not playing college baseball again. Looking back on it, that was the best decision I've ever made. Like I said, it just made me be a kid for one more year and, be able to hit with my friends in the cages for one more year and, do all the fun stuff that we did this year. And again, just having another year, listening to Coach Bakich in the classroom every day, it just, I think, even grew me more as a person, as a leader, just as an individual. I think it prepared me even more for, the next chapter of my life.
Yeah, I know from the outside looking in, I mean, Dawson and I has attended a couple of Coach Bakich's press conferences, and you can just tell the guy's just a great guy to be around. And I know, especially with you guys being baseball players and him being the coach, it's just that bond's even more special. But, Dawson and I played baseball too, and I feel like Eric Bakich would be a coach that Dawson and I would probably want to play for too as well, just because of the fire he brings and just everything else that comes along with him as well.
I mean, he's a stud. Like he took us on his boat the first fall I was there. So, with Blake Wright and Austin Gordon and, all those guys that are playing pro now. And he took us to like a cliff spot. And, all of us got off the boat, swam up to the cliff. We're like a little timid to jump off because it was pretty high. All jumped off. Then he gets off the boat, swims like Superman, goes on top of the cliff, gets a running start. And just like a superhero, just like flies through the air and like dives. And we were all just like, so this is the type of coach we're playing for. And I think like that one story can just like sum up his energy. And just like I said, he's a beast. Like, and he is the guy that, every guy coming into college baseball should want to play for. Like, there's really nothing else to say about that.
Yeah, I think, great way to lead into this next one. Did you have any, outside of the story you just told, what was your favorite moment or just, funny story that you could tell about Coach Eric Bakich that wouldn't get you or him in trouble?
Well, it wouldn't get us in trouble, right? I think the one thing that comes to mind is the whole banana ball experience. Like, I don't, I've been in college baseball for 6 years. I've played against a lot of coaches and, heard what other guys say about their coach, good guy, whatever. But I just don't know if there's any other college coach that would dive in 100% to something like that and in front of a packed stadium be so excited about, ripping off his shirt and doing the muscle off or whatever him, Dom Listy, Bassetta, and whoever else did. And it was just like he's literally like a 14-year-old kid and however old he is body. Like it's crazy. That would probably be the first one that comes to mind. I'm sure that I could think of more, but just the head coach of Clemson baseball, a powerhouse baseball team, is just full on flexing, just acting like a kid with all of us. And, especially for the new guys coming in this year, I think like a moment like that let us grow even closer to him and to be as successful as this program wants to be. That's a very important part.
Yeah, one thing I do want to touch on that you mentioned it is the whole banana ball experience. Obviously, you guys played them in the fall, and then they came back in the spring and played in Death Valley. But whenever you guys went up against them, just what was that experience like? I mean, Jay Dillard riding in on a horse, you coming up to bat with the American flag and all that. So just can you kind of run me through just what that experience was like and just – What are your thoughts on banana ball in general?
Yeah, I remember last year in the classroom, last fall or my first fall, EB mentioned something that next year, meaning this past year, we would play the Savannah Bananas, and you know, and then we didn't hear anything about it for a while. And then it kind of came out of nowhere. Like just one random day in the classroom, he was like, all right, boys, this is what's happening. They're coming in next week to come practice with us for 2 days, and then we're playing them. And we were just like, how is that going to work? Because we knew nothing about it. And so, you know, a whole slideshow that he put up of it. And then the owner of the Savannah Bananas, the guy in the yellow tuxedo, came in and talked to us a couple days before and just kind of gave us the rundown on what it's going to look like. And then before we knew it, we looked out on our field and the all-star game or the all-star team between the Bananas and the Party Animals are just out there doing whatever they're doing. It's just normal to them, but to us, it was just like, what's going on? And then it kind of just seemed like for us, I mean, obviously everything was brand new. You know, we had an idea of what it would look like, but then, you know, once we were practicing a routine for a dance at home plate and kind of just like listening to how everything would work, and then, you know, practicing trick plays with all the guys that are on the team and, you know, so good at all this stuff, and we were just like, we kind of looked stupid just trying to do behind the back and, you know, just like trying to do whatever we wanted. And then at one point the owner said, all right guys, like, anyone have any ideas for cool walkouts? And so like a few of us just raised our hand and just threw something out there, and they're like, yeah, we'll make that happen. And one of those was Jay Dillard saying, you know, I want to come in riding a horse, get off the horse and step up to the plate and hit. And then it was just, they could just make everything work, anything that we wanted to do. So, you know, it was super cool atmosphere. I think even more mentally exhausting than a regular baseball game, because there's just so much going on all the time. But, you know, it's an entertainment show and it was super fun. And I think a memory that, you know, bonded us even more and, you know, that we'll always remember together.
I think, you know, sticking on the topic of, you know, just having fun and energy at the stadium, how did you guys feel about, you know, the renovations to Doug Kinsmore this past year with the beer garden getting added, you know, to kind of bring fans a little closer to the game?
Yeah, I think a big part of that was the athletic director or the higher-ups, the president, maybe allowing alcohol sales at sports games, because, you know, everyone's in college. Everyone wants to sit down and maybe have a beer at a baseball game. So, like you said, I think it encouraged more people to come, especially for, like, fun night games. But, yeah, I mean, between the beer garden and then the bullpen being moved for the away team and, you know, fans and frats and whoever being able to be that close to the action, I think, you know, encouraged more fans to get excited about, you know, games at Doug Kingsmore Stadium. And then obviously you see all the stuff on Twitter and people criticizing it and coaches criticizing it or whatever. But, you know, that's part of the atmosphere that we want. We want it to be a tough place for road teams to come in and, you know, perform as well as maybe their potential is. But yeah, I mean, it's a vision that Coach Backage has for the stadium and the fans and the entire experience of coming to a Clemson baseball game. And I think those two things that got implemented this year are just like a very tiny piece of what his whole vision is. He's explained it to us, and, you know, he wants buildings in the background. You know, over the next couple of years, I think we're going to see even more of those changes, and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it maybe from a different angle now. But, you know, I'll always go back there and see what's going on.
So talking about some more fun aspects of the game of baseball, and that's walk-up songs. So your walk-up song was Call Me Country by John Party. Can you kind of just run me through, I guess, is there a backstory to it, or you just like the song? What is it? So, yeah, why'd you choose the song? I mean, I liked it. I know Dawson likes it. A bunch of people liked it. But, yeah, just what's the backstory of that?
Yeah, it seemed like everyone liked it, A. And, B, there's no really backstory. I just, you know, at Georgetown most and summer ball, most of my walkout songs were involved, like, a rap song or, like, a EDM song or something like that. I'm thinking to myself, like, even though I'm from New York, I'm going to be in South Carolina, where, you know, the atmosphere and just the whole feel of the entire surrounding area is just different. So I was like, let me just try, like, because I love country, but, you know, I've never really been able to find, like, some good country songs that you can walk up to. And I found that one. I've had it in my playlist for a while, and I was like, this could definitely work. And then, you know, I showed people, and they were like, yeah, that could be pretty good. But then just in the stadium walking up to it, it's just like it sounds different. So, you know, I was like, let me just try and see what it's like, see what people think. And then coming back into this next year, everyone, like, still remembered my walk-up song. And so I was like, I can't change this. So I wrote it this past year and, you know, still never get tired of it. And then, you know, I would start walking to, you know, some fans and they'd be playing it on their phone. And, like, it just kind of just, I don't know, rolled with me a little bit. So I couldn't change it.
Yeah, I know whenever I had to post the graphic for this show coming up this past week, I had to put it on there, just kind of throwing some extra sauce on there for you, but yeah.
What? Oh, of me for this,
yeah.
This
episode? Yeah, the graphic I posted earlier in the week, threw it on there.
Yeah, one of my Instagram posts too, I clipped it to it, just, I don't know, it's just involved with me, I still love the song, and every time I listen to it, like, you know, it'll just come on Spotify, it's just like, takes me back to walking up to the plate and just like looking up and seeing purple and orange. And I always feel that way.
You know, like you mentioned, you know, moving down to South Carolina and, you know, changing it to more of a country song. When you got here, was there any culture shock at all with you moving, you know, from the Northeast now down to what is the Deep South now?
Yeah. I think a little bit, especially in terms of my teammates and just, like, you know, the slang they used and all that stuff. But again, I played 2 summers in Wilmington, North Carolina, where there was like a pretty large number of, you know, Southern kids that I played with. And I've also spent a little bit of time in Mississippi. A good friend from my boarding school is from Oxford, Mississippi. So I went down there a few times. So I've kind of been exposed to the South a little bit, and I think that was a reason that I wanted to come here, because it was in the South and I just, like, you know, I love the culture. I love the fact that everyone's friendly down there. Cost of living's pretty cheap. But yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit in the beginning, but I feel like I adjusted well. And especially, like, these new guys this past year, like Dom from Chicago, Pano from, you know, all the way out in California. It was definitely a culture shock for them. So I kind of was able to just help them acclimate a little bit, because they've never really lived in the South before. So, yeah.
I kind of want to talk on Dom Listy as well. You said you guys live together, but him and even you, and even a couple guys who've come to play at Clemson for maybe 1 or 2 years. And I mean, you get all this love from the fans and them saying, it felt like you've been a Tiger forever. Just what does that mean to you? And do you feel that way?
I definitely feel that way. It's a huge honor. And even, you know, guys like Dom, who have only been there for 1 year, like, they just, you know, the older guys are able to make an impact so much quicker. And, you know, especially the way, like, someone like him performed this entire year, which, you know, that was the expectation. It just, the fans just gravitate towards guys like that. You know, there are countless big time moments where Dom stepped up and, you know, got a game tying hit, or, you know, made a crazy play in the outfield. And, you know, that's, like I said, what the fans gravitate towards. And so, yeah, it definitely does feel like I've been at Clemson for much longer than 2 years. Even though I only played in 1.5 seasons, basically my whole first season, the second half of it, obviously missed. But still, I mean, from the fans' perspective, like, especially all the little kids after the game signing baseballs, like, I had never really had anything to that level before. So, you know, even if you go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, like, and maybe you guys, we even lose, like, you still go see the kids after the game and they don't know the difference. And they're just kind of mesmerized of the idea of a Clemson baseball player. And so, you know, whenever we're able to talk to them and give them a great experience, like, we put everything aside, and, you know, sign their baseballs and take pictures with them and all that stuff. So just from day to day, just doing that all the time, it definitely, you know, I felt the love from the Clemson fans 100%.
Andrew, I wanted to say is right before the Kentucky game, we were talking right over, and you said that you were just going to empty the tank, everything you had left. And I think that didn't just summarize that weekend, though, the results weren't exactly what we wanted. But I think that summarized your career as a whole is, at every moment you gave everything that you had, coming back from a huge injury like you did, and finishing out this year strong. What does that really say about you or this program that, you guys gave everything that you had? And Eric Bakich was so on topic about that at the end of the season that, you guys just emptied the tank.
Yeah, I think from a personal standpoint, I think there are two parts of it. One, when you're injured and you know what it feels like to not have the luxury of being able to put your cleats on and go out to the field, I think you grow an even bigger appreciation for, what it means to have the ability to, run out on the field and play the game. So I think especially after this, the ACL surgery, that was something that I told myself while I was going through the rehab process. Like, even if I'm tired, even if, I'm sore or whatever, like, I'm never going to take it for granted. I think that kind of, vibrated throughout the entire team. And two, especially the older guys, like, we know, like I said before, it's possible that this is the last time ever playing baseball. So especially as the season was kind of coming to a close, and we knew that the time was limited. And we spread that along the entire team. Like, even if you're a freshman, sophomore, like, do not take this for granted. Pano was always really good at, telling that to the younger guys, and, just helping them keep things in perspective. Because, me, along with the other transfers who have experienced what it's like at other schools, just the amenities and all the things at Clemson that go on behind the scenes. That's not how it is at every single D1 school. And so, like I said, even the freshmen that come in and think that this is just what college baseball is, I think having the older guys on the team, like someone like Pano, just helped everyone keep that in perspective. And I think that kind of principle just forced everyone to work harder and just, like I said, not really take a practice session, a game, or anything that we do together for granted.
So, kind of just wrapping up, is there at your two seasons at Clemson, do you have a favorite memory with the team on and even off the field?
The first thing that comes to my mind is, just those few games between my first year and the second year where, we were down like 7 runs in the third inning, and maybe some fans thought, this game's over. Such as the Florida State series 2 years ago, Wake Forest game. I don't remember. Don't remember which game it was, but this past year, and it's just those moments are just so much fun because you don't know that they're going to happen. They just kind of naturally evolve into something where it's like, all right, this is a 1-run game. Like, we can do this. And then off the field, I would say probably paintballing, my first year, on our fall trip to Myrtle Beach and East Carolina. That was a fun one. And then this past year, I would say probably just the Omaha Challenge, which sucks in the moment. But last week of fall, and just all the, the teams being drafted and all the competitions. And I think those things that, suck in the moment, once you're done with the whole thing, you're able to look back and, like, really appreciate those moments because, everyone's going through it together. And then, obviously you finish it, and then that the Omaha Challenge is over, and then you can celebrate together, and you're just doing everything together, the ups, the downs. I think that's such an underrated part of, Clemson baseball and just, like, college sports in general. And like, someone like me that's done playing and is going in on to the real world, like, I heard it while I was still playing from, my brother who, finished his baseball career a few years ago, and just other guys that I know. It's just like you're always going to be chasing that feeling of being a part of a team and having that excitement. I remember, like, just there are some videos that I look back on from the season, and one of them is Jack Crichton's first career home run against Louisville. I could be wrong on that, against Louisville, right? night game, close game. And from one camera angle that's kind of pointing into the dugout, you can literally just see the genuine excitement on everyone's body language. Like, I was literally jumping for joy. And it was just like that internal thing, like I said, I think I'll be chasing forever. Just those little things that kind of happen just when you're not expecting it. I think those are the moments that I'll always kind of look back on and, you know, just reminisce on forever.
I think to kind of put a kind of a bow on, you know, what we've been talking about is, and you would understand it, and like you've talked about all night, is, you know, for me and Gavin, you know, when we were playing, sometimes your best memories and the things that you take away from the game aren't necessarily in the wins and losses, like a lot of people would expect. It's, you know, the team dinners, the bus rides home. It's, you know, just enjoying the time that you have with your teammates. Because, I mean, like, you're right, you know, when these things are over and when that last pitch is done, you're going to be chasing it for the rest of your life. So, I mean, I'm really glad that you kind of put that into words tonight and was able to talk about, you know, just sometimes that brotherhood and, you know, this game of baseball it's bigger than the box score of what a lot of people would realize.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, just like you said, you know, when you're done with it, and personally, I'm bad at like remembering specific games and specific stats and moments and stuff like that. But I just feel like in general, you're not looking back and being like, oh yeah, this game I went 1-for-4. Like, you don't remember your individual stats or even other guys' stats. It's more so of just the emotions that go on, you know, throughout an entire game and then throughout an entire season. You know, obviously we had a tough stretch there kind of towards the end of the season, then we picked it back up. I always remember like the leadership council and the captains getting together in my hotel room after one of the NC State games and just, you know, just talking everything out for 2 hours and just, you know, going back and forth between ideas. It's just those moments, even in the struggles, like there will be moments that you will look back on and be like so grateful for, because, you know, maybe it helped our team in the short run, but just in the long run in terms of, you know, mine and my teammates, like personal development, it's just like, it does more for you than I think people even realize. And then, you know, once you get to another situation like that in life, I think maybe it'll kind of flash back to what you were feeling in that moment. And then, you know, you just learn from it. And it teaches you to how to, you know, handle things that you don't foresee coming.
Yeah, that's what I really think makes the game of baseball a real beauty. Like, you talk about the bond with your teammates. Obviously, you play together, but you're spending time with them a good majority of the year, and they're kind of like your second family, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, just that's all I got. Dawson, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I don't. It's just, you know, Andrew, we wish you luck in real estate, and hey, you know, maybe if you come back down here in the fall, maybe catch a football game, you can connect with a lot of the older guys that you remember from here.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to do my best to come down to the LSU game. I feel like I might be able to make that work. I just feel like that's going to be a crazy atmosphere in Clemson. But yeah, appreciate you guys having me on, especially you, Dawson. Appreciate the friendship we've kind of built over this past 2 years, and you taking some sick pictures of me. You know, after the games, I would always look forward to text from Dawson saying, you know, here are some pictures I got from last night or whatever. You know, just all those captured memories, you know, really appreciative for you guys and just, you know, the whole Clemson community and, you know, what the program has done for me and just the entire experience the past 2 years. I think it's just really, you know, transformed me as a person, and I think it's just leading me into, you know, whatever I get into next.
Yeah, we also want to thank Andrew once again, and man, it's been an awesome show tonight. But yeah, kind of wrapping things up. Anything else you want to add one last time for the Clemson fans, Andrew?
Clemson fans, Clemson community, like I just said, you know, super grateful for you guys and your support of Clemson baseball. I'm looking forward to joining the alumni network and sitting up in the alumni patio and watching, you know, Clemson baseball get after it next year. And yeah, I'll be back soon. You know, all the guys from this past year who graduated are always gonna do our best to come back, and, you know, obviously always follow Clemson baseball. So that's all I got.
There you have it. Yeah, we'll end it there tonight. Once again, it's been another episode of the Tiger View Podcast. And as always, go Tigers. All right.